May 10, 1966.
Excuse me, sir. If we wish to know the angular size, hold a matchstick at arm's length in line with the known object, and note how much the object is covered by the head of the match. Take a hell of a boxcar load of matches to cover that one. This isn't the time we've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Put it down the way you're experienced, sir. Don't,
Well, the head of a match this time looks like a... Two-deadly ranch home at the time of our attention.
In this part, we couldn't tell how much it was in there. This part here was too bright. The bottom of it, couldn't tell how far anything went down in there. This was real bright. This front part, when it would change its angle and trim and start towards you, you could just see probably the back third of it. From an angle off to like come south of us, or go back on the north side of the road as we were going down. This is one of the maneuvers. This part would be a real bright blue light or a white blue light, like mercury vapor or something. I mean, it's a white light. I mean, the only thing that ever changes is it would get brighter, it would go up, and then it would seem like it would. The blue part of the intensity of the light is that we come back down to it. The only part we could see of this metal is this part right here. That's where we could see the thing. One projection on it. This is our radio operator that night, too. Studying minutes to go. And there was just one projection on it that we could see at any time. There was a couple times it made the same maneuver, we couldn't see it. I don't know.
Is this time to see all of this?
Yeah, very clear. It was very clear. It was no problem at all. As a matter of fact, the lighter it got, the better we could see it. I mean, at first we could only follow the light, this one projection against the sky as it started getting light. And it would silhouette. Like, when we want to go, it's like if you want to make the right bank in an aircraft, when you drop your wing down and you start into just a slight bank, you know? And when you do, you roll over to, like, say, your antenna on the top. Mm-hmm. Front of the fish with the top antenna. And before you start to roll, it comes into view, you know, before the top of the ring. And when it would do this, you could see this one projection on the back, probably 15 or 18 foot long, but it appeared that this is different than that. And you could see it very clearly. Now, when it would go back north away from us, all we could see was the bottom of it, the light. Part. We couldn't see any of the metallic part of it. The metallic part that we
could see any shape to, just saw the light.
Right. The first, it was a completely clean cut light. There was no fog to the ring. It was a beautiful brilliance to it. It was clear. And as though it was sitting on it, or as though it was suspended it or whatever happened. I don't know what piece of that. But when it would go past us, on the south side, and then start back. When you look out, you can get the same angle only from the other side of the ship, or whatever you want to call it. But that's the metallic part that you can see. And you see it very plain, and it's like an aluminum top that's been used for a while. It's definitely a silver color, but it wasn't like chrome. Silver color, but it wasn't polished silver. You know, it was like a smoky silver. It's a dull silver, or put it a gray silver. You can see it very
clearly.
I'm going to try. Well, it seemed like the nose part of this thing, like when it was going, it seemed like this, when it was going forward, the nose part would be down, and like the light part of this outer rim here in the center of it was reflecting up on it against the face part. And it seemed like it wanted to go forward. It would go at an angle like this. If the one that goes straight up, it would level out. The one to go to the right, just like it's going to make a right angle, it was a
slide.
Just like a stick.
Did you ever do this?
No, it never stayed.
Didn't say
that? No, it was all beautiful maneuvers. They were clean. There was no washout in them at all.
Ever go up or down sideways?
They made Pine for altitude in Canfield. When we first seen it at Pine for altitude, about 500 feet, it maintained that for quite a while. We got over Berlin Reservoir.
and it went up some more. I'd say probably picked up another 250, 300 feet, which on the north side of the road the last time. When we got to Canfield, it went up to about, I'd say, pretty close to 2,000 feet because it was getting up there pretty good. After it cleared the area of Canfield over the city park, when the outdoors were going through it, it came back down going in towards Columbiana County to about, I'd say, 1,500 feet, maybe 1,000, 1,500. Right along there, by then we covered quite a bit of ground. And I suppose right along that area, this time about 1,000 or 1,500 feet is where we picked up the other car, Lane Houston.
Tell me.
No, sir. This was out East Palestine. This was the second car that found me.
Would you two gentlemen mind leaving us for a few minutes? And you can tell me all you know about it. When you gentlemen first saw this, how low was it on the ground?
Well, when we first seen it, actually came up behind us. See, Bob radioed first to make the long story short. Summit County Sheriff's Office radio, we have, you know, it's all 39.58, and we were all traffic in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob was talking to Summit County, and Summit County told him that this object had been seen, and the radio just called him and said it was this real huge bright object, higher than a street light and lower than an airplane. And you get quite a few calls in the police business. And actually, we were working on a traffic accident. We had just finished the reports, and we paid not very much, very little attention to it, if any. And I heard Bob tell the other operator, you know, the lady must have drank too much, you know, forget it. So we finished up, and the men from the power company are handling the hot wires on the line that had been torn down. We went down to a restaurant at the corner of Deerfield and picked up three cups of coffee. We came back up and gave the man in the power truck a cup of coffee since it was pretty cool out. And we each had one and we were drinking as we went. You know, we just tear a hole in the plastic lid so that you can kind of sit as you go along. And while we were sitting there talking to him, well, there was more traffic than the radio traffic. And so the guy in the truck, he made a couple of comments, you know, and I said, well, maybe the moon's changing, and, you know, somebody, the weird ones are out tonight, something to this effect. And so we started east on 224. We were going to come over to the Brimfield, Margaret area, which we had a lot of businesses, shopping plazas, a couple of three banks and stuff that we keep a pretty close eye on. We control all the buildings. So we were starting back across 224, and we got about a mile and a half or 2 miles east of 183 on 224, and we passed an old Ford, the side road, 59 Ford. And so I told him we'd best check it out. We went up the road, we made a U-turn, came in behind the car. We both, at this point, this is all standard work. I mean, it's the same with any department. He gets out the right side, I got out the left side. He goes to the right front corner of the cruiser, which is where he stops, sort of an insurance policy. I got out to the left, and I went to the left rear of the other vehicle. I turned to make just a sort of visual observation of the area, make sure nobody walks in the woods, you know, to take a leak or something. And then I always look behind him so no one can come up behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look in this wooded area behind us, I saw this thing. At this time, it was coming up. And there was a slight raise there. It went up to about treetop level, I'd say about 100 foot or less. It started moving towards us. At this time, he's still looking straight ahead. And I,
when you say treetop level now,
well,
looking at a distance that way, except that you're on the ground.
Okay.
So, would you say that that's maybe 30 degrees elevation if you were on the ground and looking up? Depends on the trees, of course.
Well, no, the trees that it was clearing was right on top of this one raise right beside the road, directly to the berm of the road. And at the time that
when I was watching it, it was so low that you couldn't see it till it was right on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
As it came over the trees, I looked at Barney, and he was still watching the car. The car in front of us. And he didn't say nothing, and the thing kept getting brighter, and the area started getting light. And I looked at Barney's car, and I said, I'm not going to look over his shoulder. So he did, and he didn't say nothing. He just stood over his mouth open for a minute. And as bright as it was, and he looked down. And I started looking down, and I looked at my hands, and my clothes weren't burning or anything, and it stopped right over top of us. The only sound in the whole area was a hum. And it just changed a little bit. It wasn't anything screaming or real wild. But you sound like a transformer being loaded, or the overloaded transformer when it changes.
Like an AC hum, something like that?
Yeah. You remember the old pitch pipe in the school where the teacher blows it and then she moves up one notch on it?
Yes.
You remember when you go sing something? You're singing God Bless America. That seems wrong. Anyway. I don't know exactly how long I was pretty scared for a couple of minutes. As a matter of fact, I was petrified. And so I moved my right foot, and everything seemed to work all right. And evidently, he made the same decision that I did, was to give something between me and it, or us and it, or whatever you would say. So we both went to the car. We got in the car, and we sat there. I wouldn't even venture if it was 10 seconds, 30 seconds, or 3 minutes. I just know we...
Okay, let's back up.
Okay.
From the time that you saw this thing, up until the time that it came over you, how many minutes would you estimate?
To come over top of us?
From the time that you first saw it, you said, over the tree line, coming up, but stood over. How many minutes did it take?
Probably a minute. It didn't take very long. It was too close. When we seen it, it was there was just this one divide down there in this one little wooded area that we couldn't see over the top of. I couldn't even say if it came up.
You probably get a feel for the time.
But it was no more than a minute or so because it was right on top of us before I ever seen it. And it stood there, and it hovered. It didn't make anything, and I didn't touch nothing. Barney didn't say nothing. It moved right up to the north side of the road. It came back down, and it moved right out east of us, just right away from us. Sat there for a second and nothing still had happened to me, and Barney looked all right. And I punched the mic button and the light came on. So I picked it up and I first started to tell him, that just the thing was there. And I thought, well, if I do, they'll think, I thought, well, maybe I'm too excited. So I just told Bob on the radio, I said, this bright object is right here, the one that everybody says is going over. He comes back with like something to shoot it, or something.
No, see, I thought it was a weather balloon. See, everybody's talking about swamp gas.
God's sake, don't shoot that weather balloon.
Yeah, that's what Schoenfeld said. Schoenfeld was in there, too. Everybody really got excited all of a sudden, see. And I thought, it was one of these optical phenomena or anything. You say the light rays bent by the moon and all that. That's what I thought it was. I thought, well, if it was a weather balloon, we'd shoot it down and turn it back into the government or something. We'll figure this thing out once and for all, because this was twice now that these things have been seen. See? I mean, these people reported this stuff. And after we got to think it over, was it a good idea to shoot it down? So.
With this thought in mind, I waited a minute, and I had some things to say, but I didn't. And it just sat there, right out east, right straight in front of us.
Came up to where it set in the east. So let's just say it was going east and set. How long did that take?
It just moved right up and stopped. It didn't go any distance. It wasn't 250 feet in front of the car. And everything was lit up. It was real bright. It was low. And at this time, if I had to describe it, I said, it just looks like a hell, it was as big as a house. this thing was, it was no toy. This thing is, I mean, you don't look up and say, the guy pulls up, he says, from this pin, how much did you say it would cover? This thing is big enough to cover the road. This is 224 from berm to berm, this thing would have covered. It was, it was like looking down the middle of hell or something for a minute. And it was very bright. It made your eyes water. And Schoenfeld came in, my sergeant, and he says, do you have a camera? And I said, no, sir, I don't have one. Or I don't care. I said, sorry. I said, no, I don't. We're sorry. And he said, can you follow it or stay with it or keep it under observation? We'll get a camera farther. We'll get somebody there with a photo unit. We'll photograph it so we can identify it. The size of 10-4, and we started moving up to it, you know, out behind it. We went to 183, and we had to go direct south. When we turned south, it was right behind us then, right directly to the rear of the car, and we were going south, right directly behind us. We got back to 224, and we turned left. This is right in that water. When we got there, they put it right straight out the left window of the car. Excuse me, almost due north of the car. At this time, it came straight south. One motion, buddy, just a smooth glide, went right to the south side of the highway, took off east again right with us, and we was pacing it right along beside it. Ground speed, and at this time, we'd say right at 86 miles an hour. We right straight with it, right straight out the window, right at the corner of the windshield. Bonnie watching, me watching, he's in the corner with an area. At this time, it was no more after gained altitude, no more than between 300 and 500 feet, because it was lighting the ground underneath of it. It was the illumination from it, when it crossed that big frame where the strip field is and stuff, you can see it just as plain as you can see that telephone. This was before daylight. It came through the airfield circle, because I know I had to go between a tractor trailer, come back out and started east again towards Berlin, right over the airfield circle. They were trying to get two camera cars from Salem up there, two cars with cameras in them. They were coming north, straight east, and at this time, this thing, whatever you want to call it, picked up probably another 150 feet over the water, because that's when it started picking the light up under the weather, right on Berlin. They went straight back across the car to the north side of the road. We started towards through Mahoning County. This time we was running 103, clocking it, and we stayed right with it. Ground speed was the same. Never.
You were doing 103. This thing you say was to the left of you?
Yes, sir. Right to the left of us. We come back to the north side of the road, and
the window down, and the windshield was up.
The windshield. Oh, the window. Yeah, the window was up. We followed it. The only time it raised, the next time it raised again. Was that we had to make one angle turn there, and it came back to us. This is our first good look at it. It was just about then, right? Just after we crossed Berlin Reservoir, going into Mahoning County. And it wanted to come back south towards us. And when it did, it angled, you could see it silhouetted against the sky. And the beam of it, the way it was going, stayed behind it. And you could see the whole back third of a metallic object. Or what appeared to be metallic to me. You could see it just as plain as silhouetted against the sky. And I thought then we could identify it. I really thought that there would be something and I would know what it was. And I could see only one projection. And all of this I kept radioing back. Everything I seen, I gave it to the other cars and the bottom on radio. I gave it to the other counties as I was going so that if we cracked up, somebody would know that there was something there. So the sergeant came in and he said, well, stick with it as long as you can until we can get another car in pursuit with cameras and break off your pursuit. So this goes on. It changed directions probably two or three more times. We got tangled up once at a couple of intersections.
Every minute in Kansas Hill, it had come across in front of us and the road just turned off to the right.
Yeah, we turned off to the right, and it was over to the right of us then, and that throws it back over to the left-hand side of the cruiser.
It just seemed like it went up the road and quit. When we was going a little bit south, it turned to come right back with us. South.
It seemed like when all we got run past very little traffic,
this thing was right in front of me in the
What portion of the windshield were you able to see? It was
when it sprayed out from us?
Yeah.
When it first sprayed out from us, all you had to do was sit there, right? Just look out the windshield. It was right there, right dead in the center.
What portion of the windshield was it?
Top,
bottom, middle?
Just about the middle of it. Just right straight through it. I said middle of it. It would be the top better third. The top better third of the windshield. After it moved out in front of us, I never seen anything like it. It was a monster. It looked like a monster to me. The only time that the most altitude it ever got was, I know it's over 2,000 feet, and it's when we come in, when it passed over top of Wayne, Houston, and that was about the highest point there until after we got to the mountain there before we went to the Rochester. And then it changed again. It came back over once. This wing got a good look at it and went all the way to the side of the road. It goes back north again. Then we started down through this one place. I don't remember the name of it. I wasn't reading very many signs at the time. And I was in strange country. So Wayne knows the roads real well, so he was helping me out. He was telling me which way I'd have to make the turns as I went. And we thought we lost it because he said, this will be it. We're going to lose it right here.
What time was this?
Well,
that's a fire.
It was
time to get down there.
Yeah,
I say, what time? By the time you hit the east house, Pete?
Yeah.
It must have been about 20, 25 minutes later. You've been chasing a little good 20 minutes then.
I don't know the time.
I know it happened about 5:07 when you first made contact with me on the side. 5:05, 5:06.
I don't know exactly what time it was, but we thought we were going to lose it. I know it was 20 or 25 seconds probably through this one thing there. We came back out, we could see it again. We went through this mass of turns, and at this point, it was just a handful of cars.
That's so, 51 hooks up with 59, and it's south of Rochester, right next to the city limits. Might even be in the city limits, but it's a bypass around the edge of town where you have to.
See, he knew the roads. They were just giving me instructions. And I was driving at this time. I thought we lost it. So we came out on 51. And when I first looked up in the mirror to make sure Wayne made that last turn, because we had a power turn, bring in the slide to him, because otherwise we couldn't get our power coming out. And just as I kicked in passing here and I felt my car crack, I looked up in the mirror to see Wayne, and I seen the nose of his car go down. And he says, it stopped. And I looked right ahead of us, and there it was. We came right over Route 51. We lost probably half its altitude. So help me God. Right now we're 51. Waited as we came up to it. We went right up to the left, went right straight up about 500, 600, 700 feet, and took off again, right at the same pace.
So I don't want to raise it in the book, Park. This is really straight up.
I never seen nothing like it. In my life. And on the other, they were trying to get Chippewa, Barry's one, and they finally got a radio operator away. We were out of our frequency range, due to lightning, and there was no more cars. So we started again. By then, we were getting towards Freedom, and every time we'd hit a long curve or anything, I'd start picking up air. I was running out of gas. We got to Freedom, still right there. When we got tangled up, it just slowed down. Came out of the other end of Freedom, going out of Conway, which I guess that starts into West Pittsburgh.
17 or 18 miles from downtown Pittsburgh when we stopped in Conway.
Yeah, checked it out.
I saw this cruiser sitting at the towing station, and I told Wayne, I said, there's another car. And I was already out of fuel anyway, and my tires were pretty well burned up, so I shot in this place, and we told him what was happening. He called his dispatcher. His dispatcher said he had the airport on the phone, which they say they didn't now. And he even gave us a phone number for me to call back, which they say we didn't, but I did. And I don't know who I talked to. I forgot the guy's name. And I remember the last part of the number is 4000, I think, or 400 or something like that when we went to the police station. From that point, when we first got there, we watched this thing, or watched the room, the part of the quarter room was here, and there was a, like where the man in the room would have been in a picture drawn. There was one bright spot right off about where the nose would have been on the room. There was a bright spot that had been there. I don't know how long that bright spot had been. It was quite a while. The one we were watching would have been at this time, of course that spot was awful small. It wasn't as big as this we were watching. And we were about the same. We watched right through an antenna, four officers standing side by side, watched an airliner come out of the airport, right underneath of it. He was talking on the radio. He told them that he thought, you know, asked them about it. They had traffic on scrambling fighters to see if they could intercept it or identify it. When they started talking about fighter planes, we could see these planes coming in. Now, they said they weren't there, but I had another hallucination. And when they started talking about fighter planes, just as though that thing heard every word that was said, it went straight up. And I mean, when it went up, friend, it didn't play no games, it went straight up.
There were no fighter planes in the spring.
There were no fighter planes.
You talked to the tower operator at the Great Pittsburgh Airport.
Well, that's the one I called back. That's 40. I forget the number now. But I know it was three zeros in it, whatever the number was. Now, the radio traffic was about the airplanes. Now, the other airplanes was right in the area, and we watched that airliner go directly underneath us, all four of us. And all I got had to done was look straight up, because it was sitting right on top of it. And he went right under it. And at this time, its altitude and its distance, and at this time it was this, if you were looking at it compared to an object that you wanted to see, it was as big as a wash tub then, even after it went up the first time, and we were standing right there watching it.
See, the tower operator in Pittsburgh didn't pick up the radar, didn't pick up, and that's why the aircraft was.
Well, now see, this is a different story for you. We understand that there was planes rambling down here when this whole thing first started.
Dr. Carol Hendricks of Youngstown, he scrambled no aircraft whatsoever. In fact, he said he doubted if he could get us men up to 5:30 in the morning to go out and chase
something that isn't there. Venus, yeah. I understand what you're
saying. No, it's just that they're not on duty at the time. Sheriff, their SAC has at least 20% of their planes on duty all the time.
Oh,
they're not fighter
planes. Well, did you say they were fighter planes? You know that they're fighter planes? You didn't say so, did you?
No. All I know is they were aircraft.
No, he didn't say it. The newspaper said it. He didn't say it. Because at least I have nothing in the statement that says it.
I'm sure he didn't.
He talked to the airport and greeted him. Because I got the information.
Because the guy is still not me explaining anything. So what you say it would look like? Do you think it looked like a football? Do you think it? Yeah, I couldn't answer nothing. He said, okay, thank you. I'll forward to Wright Patterson and hung up the phone. That was a total conversation. Didn't last how long. I asked him if he wanted to talk to you or one of the other officers. And my mouth was pretty dry about then. I mean, don't go that way every day. So that was the total length of the conversation. The guy didn't give me a chance to even get your throat back where it belongs to even explain it. And he said, well, would you say it looked like a football or a cigar? I don't know what else. He said, and I'm this, that, and the other, and I was trying to get myself squared away. And he said, okay, thanks a lot. I'll forward it to Wright Patterson. That was all of his story. Never said another word to us. Now, when they said the radio traffic, whoever he was talking to, I don't know.
He was probably controlling the aircraft.
No, I say that who their radio operator was talking to, I don't know. I mean,
no, he called radar.
Because I know that the traffic that came back is that they thought there was fighters scrambled in the area. When they said fighter planes, that plane really, but it really went. It didn't monkey around. It just straight up. Just as though it was standing there listening to us, or it was like it had a radio or something.
I don't want you to feel that I'm disputing anything.
No,
I'm just telling you what I know.
Oh, well, that's that.
From your information, from the information which I've been able to check, and checking out all the moon activity in this area, all the aircraft activities, especially in the route that you were following. At one time, because of your description, I thought that maybe you were chasing the balloon. But no balloons in there. And
are those balloons propelled or what?
I mean, I was under the wind.
You had a 3 mile an hour wind in there, because I know we.
The velocities at the time were coming from 280 degrees and at 12 miles per hour. But as you reach higher in altitude, you push to 45, 50, but what I was mainly interested in actually was the direction of the wind to see if the balloon could be carried in that direction. Because this happens. I had failed.
I don't even know where the wind was blowing.
This is one of the reasons that I asked for the wind velocities in this area. Not only that, but also the temperature. And this whole area, especially the area which you follow. My job is to try to determine what these things are. It's not a very pleasant labor.
What do you do that got you this kind of a job?
I really don't know. I checked out everything. I checked the radar at Oakdale, which is further this way. Checked the one at Greater Pittsburgh. I had nothing.
There were no aircraft.
Well, there were aircraft, but there were aircraft coming in and taking off. These things are pegged by numbers, by tracking. You know, you have American Airlines Flight 321 coming in, you know, and it can run with such and such. And these things, of course, are tracked according to numbers. And when they have a scheduled aircraft coming in, it's a routine type. You just bring them in, they bring them in to maybe 15 or 20 miles to start coming in low so to get in the runway number. And they come and land, especially in visual conditions. If it's foggy or something like that, they bring them in a lot of closer. Sometimes bring them out over the runway 6 miles. But this is the reason that I specifically wanted the times and wanted to check the times, especially the ones that you gave me. The ones you gave to Mr. Powers. I don't know if you remember talking to Mr. Powers.
I don't know what he was.
Mr. Powers is from the Northwestern University. That's the novel. I
don't know what I'm talking about. I just had my talk. 7 million people.
Yeah, I know.
My phone was disconnected now. It's going to stay that way. They clear us up and they'd get me a new number. I had an unlisted number when this started, but that didn't do much good.
Now, you see, I also got the information from the suppliers from college. And I said, I've checked all the local activities. I checked the SPADAR. I don't know if you know what SPADAR is. SPADAR is the Space Tracking and Detection System, which we have in this country, to track all satellite activities. All satellites, doesn't matter who's at the bottom, they track.
Is that the same setup that Grandeur has got down in Grand Island?
Well, that's part of it. That's part of the system itself. Now it's being tracked. They're primarily interested, really, with the Grandeur in tracking our own Jimmy shots and Mercury shots that we're handling. But the SPADAR system, which runs from the north all the way down south, and this is my country here, it's track all satellites.
I have a station down on the Grand Turk for about 18 months. I've seen a lot of them things come over that they've shot on Cape Canaveral or Cape Kennedy, whatever it is now.
It's got to be quite a business. These guys not only have radar equipment, but they also have tremendous optical. They can make the moon look. I checked for them. The only thing that they have over this particular area was satellites. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but there are at least 30 satellites that are visible to the naked eye. And these things have a northeasterly and a southeasterly component, except three. Three of them have what we call retrograde, and they have east-west.
these are sort of bastard satellites. They weren't supposed to go that way, but because the booster system kind of keeps them up and put them in the And I checked thoroughly with him. I had a 35-minute conversation and took the information on the computer. And this is why I made the determination specifically because of the direction that you gave. But you had the first spot of the satellite coming in and then focused on Venus. Venus, that night, that particular night, was at a magnitude of minus 3.9. Brightest thing in the sky.
I don't know anything about it, but I was under the impression that two things that were under the impression ever I have a misconception of everything.
No, it's not a misconception.
No.
You're not the first one to say that.
No, I know damn well I wasn't chasing a satellite, first of all. As I understand it, the satellite orbits at about 7,300 and some miles an hour to 7,500. I may be wrong. Second of all, I think that if it was in the atmosphere as close as this thing was, as large as it was, it would have probably burned up at that speed. And second of all, I'm under the impression that our satellites doesn't stop and go and go up and down. This is one thing. I didn't know it could maneuver.
They zigzag. They don't zigzag because the satellite is in perfect motion. But it gives the illusion of zigzagging.
Oh.
It gives the illusion of movement in this direction. So it's not because the satellite itself is moving. It's because the eyeball does this to you. Your eyes, my eyes, and his eyes.
Second of all, I'm under the impression that Venus rises out of the east as a morning star. And this is probably another thing that's wrong. I'm not sure.
It depends.
Huh?
Sometimes it'll rise right over you.
Oh, okay. So anyway,
Venus today,
look out around 5.
Rises at 0249 in the morning. Rising at 110 degrees azimuth and 25 degrees elevation. But it doesn't have to rise lower. I think it can rise higher. But it's on the ecliptic, yes.
Okay.
It's always on the ecliptic.
Granted, you have this now.
410.
This thing is this large, this big, and this low. And these people watch this thing from over the modern order. They report it. And I follow it. I have Barney with me. We're going down the road. So you're going to discount those two nuts. We're around Venus.
Now, wait a minute.
Let me
use the wrong word. Okay. Hey,
well,
I'm an Austin in the United States.
I don't call anybody a nut. Okay. I have a relationship. But this is what I'm trying to say. I'm going down the road. Now, this thing that I ain't following.
With the same respect that I treat you.
I'll treat you in the courage. But
I'm not calling you a nut. I'm not saying you have a hallucination.
All right, the last 20 days. Anyway, this thing passes over another police car. He watches it go by, and he's following. Now, this is two cars put fixed on Venus. So we're going down the road. And we get into Conway, Pennsylvania, this thing passes over the third car that's sitting there, not even on the same frequency. I never met, seen, spoke to before nor after this. Another officer. He's watching the same thing as it goes over top of him when towards Pittsburgh as we come screaming in. We watched it. Four men standing right there, four officers. Probably, you see anything one. He stood right there, watched the plane go underneath of it, and watched it make a vertical climb straight up. And this, sir, with my knowledge, is God's truth. Yes, sir. The only thing left to even look at after we went to the station to call the guy was the one bright spot that was there. The sun was up, coming up full, and the moon was fading out. It was about a quarter of the moon. Right straight off that moon, which would have been to the south of the moon if you were looking west, was one bright spot. I would say it was probably, it looked like a pencil eraser, real bright.
That was the mothership.
Huh?
That was the mothership.
No, that was the mothership. You guys know I need them, guys, please.
I give you some tranquilizer. This thing was to, would have been to the left or to the north of it, and we watched it. Went up, stopped, the airliner went under it, and then it went straight up. Just as straight up as, well, just straight up. And I wouldn't concede the point. I know that people can get fixed on something maybe or something like that, but I don't think that I don't see how that myself and another cruiser and another guy and all of us can go chasing Venus. I don't concede no part of it. I know that there's this may be a way to discount it or what it is, but I know that it was there. I seen it very plainly.
Yeah, but it's not a question of this guy. We're trying to get the information. We're trying to make the determination as to what it was.
Yes, sir, if I could tell you what it was, believe me, Major, I myself, and like I said before, if I told you that I seen a Ford going down the highway, you know what I was talking about. And if you said, well, gee, there goes the Chevrolet, you would assume the fact that you identified it, and I know what it is. It's the same thing with an aircraft. You said, there goes an V-29. And say, yeah, it sure is. That's an old war horse or something to this effect, and it's identified. This, I have never seen nothing like it before or after or in the wildest part of
the wait, Dale.
So how can I identify?
How about that? When we saw the thing come home from Margaret that day.
Well, this one has been identified because since then, and since I know what this one looks like, I gave it the name of Floyd, see? So that's Floyd now. It's another satellite. But I can't, I know that you can have an optical illusion, or you can see something move, or like if you look through a piece of glass or something
yeah, distortion.
I can go along with it. But nothing this big, that ever even looked or in my wildest dreams, I don't think I could ever imagine or seen anything like it. Now, what it is, I don't know. Where it comes from, I don't know. Who it belongs to, I don't know. But it definitely was there. And it would take something just short of heaven if hell wanted to change my mind. I mean, me personally, because of the fact that I don't think anyone could follow something that long and that far and not be able to determine that they were actually in pursuit of something. And I don't think that there could be that much mass hysteria. Possibly, somebody might be able to figure it out. I don't know. But this thing was there. I seen it very plainly. I seen it outside the car. I saw it from inside the car, and I saw it from outside the car after I got to Conway, Pennsylvania. And I would hate to think that I gambled this man's life and a lot of the people's life, Jason Duke. I don't believe for an instant that I was following anything. I don't know how to explain it. I don't have the slightest idea. Sir, this thing was real as may.
You know, I'm just going to say it's whatever it's worth. Not the first one that's happened.
Oh, hey, I know about that for a minute. There's something
you're not in this by yourself in an argument.
About 17 officers involved in this. Ground observations got
involved. 2 weeks before your report came, I had a report from the rookie. He said, I was the chief. Right off the right side of the stand.
Well, like I said, I
The Air Force doesn't pay me.
Oh, no, no.
According to how many cases they get every year. Or how many
I very well understand this.
What I analyze through exactly.
I very well understand it. And I respect your position.
But I've checked every bit of activity, sir. Every bit.
And
and the information which I got. Is it the same information that you got?
Well, I feel this way about it. It's too damn bad that these things are hovering around through our sky over our heads. And the United States Air Force and the government don't know what's going on in there because there's too many of them and there's too many people who've seen it. And there certainly must be something to it.
Sure, there are. Like I said before, at least 20% of SAG is up in the air and all the time. One reason.
Sure.
Radar stations are all over this country, not only in the interior, but in the exterior. They operate on the 24-hour spin.
That's what I thought they did.
They do. Three ships, 8 hours, 24 hours.
What does the Air Force think he's on, Major? What does the Air Force think?
Misinterpretation of conventional logic and natural phenomena. We have over 10,200 cases on file in right now. This goes back to 1947. Last year, just to show you, last year we had 245 astronomical cases.
And how many of them were accounted for? I mean, definitely identified as misinterpretations of conventional aircraft.
We had 887 total cases.
245,
sir.
United States.
Yeah.
Not only the private
trust. Well, how about these 800 or so were explained? I mean, definitely explained.
Okay. When that goes down to the book on 130, where I came to the close, there were 245 astronomical cases, 210 aircraft, 36 balloons, 85 was insufficient data. People writing letters, we send letters back to them requesting that they fill out the forms with the different times, dates, motions. They failed to write back again. There were 126 in the other category, which are unreliable reports, hallucinations, psychological causes.
What category is this going in? What Dale saw.
Well, I'm in the category of satellite and astronomical observations.
And that thing I took a picture of the other morning, you have a decoder in the satellite. Probably one.
What kind of camera were you using?
One of those cheap Japanese. This thing stood still. I took a picture of it, and then when it started to move, I ran it from down here to turn down the Spruce and Prospect in the last picture. I got three pictures of it before it went out of sight. And when he saw it, it was coming from Mogador down there, and he says, he called from the Mogador car, and he says, look up overhead, you know? And he's looking up, he says, what do you see? I can't see nothing. And so I grabbed the camera, and I says, where is it at, Dale? And he says, it's coming towards me. I said, well, go the other way. We don't want any more of this stuff, you know? And so I called, and I'm dying to go high. And so I said, well, I'll go out here and see if I can't find it. And so I ran out in the parking lot. Old Floyd's coming over, he's speedy pulls out. Like this, man.
The reason I asked you for the speed is because if you're using a fast speed, it'll show up as a dot. But if you're using a slow speed, it's going to show up like this.
Maybe this thing showed up.
Two or three little dots.
Like exactly like Dale. Where's his picture?
What do you like? I don't know.
This little beauty.
Well, I don't know what this dark part is. That's just a draw. It didn't have that. This is just...
This on this film was almost directly, there was two shades. The top one was quite a different color than the bottom. It was white. It was black and white film. And the bottom was lighter, but it shone down. And I have three shots of it.
very positive and very, very negative rather than right now.
Yeah. It'll probably turn out with something, but I mean, it was kind of strange.
I know that experts in God damn, and I had before any amateurs get all of them.
I never saw the film. I had nothing to do. They said, "Here's the pictures you took right to the photos," and that's right.
They were processed from me.
That's it. I can't explain it as anything else. I mean, maybe it was a satellite. Maybe it was a balloon or something. I don't know.
A satellite is going to show up as a bunch of little dots.
But you're saving
the camera is
what's slow signal.
I have no idea.
Not very fast.
You're the sheriff.
You should
feel like it's
yeah, sure.
It's either 25th or 50th or 30th or something.
They're not extremely fast like that. I know they have cameras within 300 to the second of that, you know, these.
Yeah, you better cameras.
Yeah, well, my brother used to have one with 7 lenses about this long, about 18 filters and all this jazz to go with him. He used to photograph snowflakes, and my mother used to take the pictures after you build them up. You fold them up the size she wanted, plate it, and make tablecloths, crochet them. And they even took his
snakes,
too. So he was...
I'd like me to take a look at the negative after you get through with it.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying it was a ploy or anything like that, or it was from outer space or flying saucer, because I'm not sure. I mean, Dale got a closer look at one of these things firsthand than I did. And I'm not sure what I could picture. I assume that the same thing that you took a picture was the same thing. Yeah, I assume nothing, but Dale said this thing's a ploy, and since he'd already seen one, I took his word for it was a ploy. See, and I took a picture of it. I don't know. It might be an airliner or something flying low or something. I don't know.
But I can say this.
It didn't do any of these other maneuvers that Dale said. I mean, it did stop one time. No. But I mean, besides, I mean,
it turned out to disappear.
And boy, it was gone. Of course, it might have been, you know, like I said, the clouds come over and light rays, stuff like that. I've seen those. Ooh, bless. Rogers.
I checked all the activity. I'm trying to leave it here. This is one of the reasons I stay home, is to check on it. Because it's a lot easier for me. Check the my communication channel, set the office, just punch buttons and say, okay, get me active, get me clean, get me Toledo, and check out the information. This is exactly the directions of it.
Well, I'm sorry that it turned out this way, because I know a lot of people have come to me and they saw the same damn thing, and there's too many people involved for this thing to be a mirage or somebody's imagination. I don't... I'm like Dale. Nobody will ever convince me that it isn't something actual that's up there. What the radar do, I don't know if it's the satellite, then the radar should pick it up.
Your radars in the greater Pittsburgh area aren't built to pick up the satellites.
It's that close to the ground, it would, wouldn't it?
Well, yes. They're close to the ground and pick up anything. Because they can pick up the moon automobile.
After themselves, we can just have it on with a radar ourselves.
Well, sir,
thank you very much for your time, Major.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's quite all right.
You got a job to do, and
excuse me, Major.
I'll probably see you in the service. I'll probably...
No, I've already been in.
No, you have.
Yeah, he's going to be a doctor one of these days.
You're a doctor, that's it.
I got to do this one. I don't really live a lot of stuff now that he's staying around here with us. This girl wasn't mind having your picture if it's permissible, because then that gave you proof that
you were here.
It's going to fall for us again if we don't get a picture of you.
I'll shake your hand.
No, because
I don't know Congressman's interested in it because he's had.
I talked to Congressman Stanton,
yes.
And
called a paperclip.
I don't need the other boy. He
we don't have a national one of those, do we?
Yes, I was going to get it away. It's not that I'm passing that across again.
No, I would enjoy having one.
You see, this is this is a type of information to be put out.
Good,
I see you, Major. I'll see you down there. All right.
There's an article that was written by Dr. Paul Sagan. Everything's by the flag.